You're listening to Succeed, Just Let Go, a podcast that'll change how you think and change your life. I'm Willie Horton and I'm a psychologist, been helping people change their lives since 1996, broadcasting from the French Alps, and delighted to have you along. Let's take this week's step in the right direction. The title of this week's podcast episode is Tips for Staying Focused Through the Day. So that is exactly what you're going to get over the next short while that we spend together. The first tip may not be as obvious as you might think it is. When you wake up in the morning, get out of bed. Because if you stay lying in bed, your mind will start wandering. And all wandering leads to worrying. All thinking leads to overthinking. And overthinking always leads us down a dark alley to somewhere that bears no resemblance to the reality of, in the case of when you wake up in the morning, a brand new day and a brand new set of opportunities that potentially, right here, right now, could change your life. Because we never know what is going to happen in the next moment, and our lives can change in the twinkling of an eye. So when you wake up in the morning, get out of bed. You've woken up, you're ready to start your day. But even at that, if you go to the bathroom, or perhaps you shower first thing in the morning, your mind will wander. So the second tip is that as you're going about your morning routine of perhaps brushing your teeth, doing your face, shaving, showering, dressing yourself, actually do just what you are doing. In other words, if you're standing under the shower, feel the beads of positively charged ions of water falling all over your skin, raining down on you. Feel it like it is the first time you've ever felt a shower. And indeed, the drops of water that fall on you in tomorrow morning's shower will never have fallen on you before and will never fall on you again. Just in the same way as I said to somebody recently that I took a walk down the road here, over the bridge, over the river that is racing down from the glaciers at this time of the year. And I looked down at the water and said to myself, I will never see this water go under this bridge again. I've never seen this water go under this bridge before, because the molecules of water that are flowing in that moment have never flowed through the ravine and down through the valley like that before, and never will again. Each moment is unique. Each drop of water that you experience on your skin is unique. Now, before we go any further, people often say to me, but I kind of get my head in gear when I'm in the shower. I kind of sort out the day ahead. And, you know, very often when we are in the now, fully appreciating and experiencing each drop of water as it cascades down upon us, our minds will prompt us to understand things that we need to do during the course of the day, or have insights with regard to what is the most important thing that you need to do today. We'll come back to that particular one towards the end of this episode. They're insights. They are aha moments, if I can put it like that, because aha moments, although most people would assume they are big deals, aha moments come in all shapes and sizes. And indeed, any aha moment is actually a big deal, because it is coming from the part of your mind that is not thinking, but that is prompting you to do something or move in a particular direction. An aha moment, an insight, even in the shower, is a signpost from your gut instinct, and we ignore our gut instinct at our peril. You'll have heard me before talk about some simple meditations on the move that you can do during the course of the day. And one that I've often mentioned is brushing your teeth to brush your teeth. Most people will be thinking something else, or will be absent-minded. Ooh, now there's a phrase, isn't there? Because 96% of people on this planet are absent-minded. They're absent, full stop. Because if you're not fully present, experiencing how it feels to brush your teeth whilst brushing your teeth, your mind is somewhere else. Your mind has taken you somewhere else. And that sets you off on a rocky road for the day ahead, because this now, in which you might be brushing your teeth, sets you up for the next now. And each now follows on as kind of a chain of pearls, if you're in the here and now, or a chain of thought, a train of thought, that will take you off down, as we said earlier on, somewhere that has no resemblance to the here and now. But if I am brushing my teeth just to brush my teeth, then I am going to be totally present in the moment. And that sets me up for the next moment. And that sets me off on a wonderful trajectory of attractive presence. You know what I mean by that if you've been listening to this podcast for a while. This sets me off on a chain of attractive presence for the day ahead. We all have routines in the morning. And the problem with routines is we end up doing them routinely. But your morning routine provides you with an abundance of opportunities to experience the moment. So that when you come, for example, to dress yourself, you will actually feel the fabric of your clothing, caress your body as you put your arms and legs into your tops and bottoms, so to speak, as you prepare yourself for going out into the world for the day ahead. Now, these things that I'm talking about can be done regardless of what's going on around you, regardless, for example, of which day of the week it is. Because most people, when they wake up on a Monday morning, will lie there for a couple of minutes and their minds will start thinking, I wish it was Sunday, or I wish it was Friday, but I certainly wish it weren't Monday. A lot of people simply don't like Mondays, as a result of which most people will suffer more during a Monday than they will from kind of a Wednesday on, when people are perhaps looking forward to the weekend, which is not a good thing either, because essentially what we're talking about and have been talking about in this podcast for a couple of years at this stage is the need to be present in the moment. If we're not present in the moment, our minds will largely play in the past. They'll play in a past long gone, because the past that concerns the automatic pilot that runs the normal mind is a past from your formative years. And that is so distant from the here and now that it simply doesn't make sense, although this is the way the automatic pilot in the mind actually works, it doesn't make sense that you should use the thoughts that you learned during your formative years decades ago to make sense of right here, right now in 2025. So we're talking about experiencing the moment and using the routine of your everyday morning to experience the moment, to not give any quarter to your thinking mind. And as I said, this can be done regardless of what's going on around you. I've mentioned the potential for distraction simply as a result of the day of the week in which you find yourself. But all kinds of other things are going on in most households in the morning as well. Other people are trying to get ready for the day ahead as well. You may have 10 screaming children hanging out of you at that time in the morning. Appreciate them. They won't be children for long. As I said to one particular individual recently who is challenged by a 13-year-old daughter right at this moment in time, be there for her. Appreciate her. And as a result of being there for her, she may not continue in her behaviourally challenging ways. And indeed, a week later, I got an email from the very same person saying that she had sat down and had the most amazing conversation with her 13-year-old daughter just a couple of days later as a result of my online programme owner deciding that she wouldn't judge her daughter's behaviour, and she wouldn't let her judgment of her daughter's behaviour cloud her view of her daughter at this moment in time, and therefore result in her reacting to her daughter's behaviour. If you need to listen back to what I've just said, please do, because it's very important, because that's how we react to anything and everybody during the course of our ordinary everyday lives, if we're using our minds in an ordinary everyday way. What we're talking about is enabling ourselves live our everyday lives in an extraordinary way, to move away from the ordinary humdrum where the thinking mind uses thoughts from our formative years to endeavour to make sense of the here and now, and in the process make a complete mess of it, as a result of which not only do we react to what is going on in the moment, we actually react to what we think is going on in the moment based on stuff we learned when we were children, as a result of which we make an even greater mess of the mess that normal crazy people around us have already created for themselves, and with the intention of dragging ourselves into it too. Again, we've covered an awful lot of ground in the last few moments as well. Now, we've been talking about morning routine, and obviously one of the key things that needs to be built into your morning routine is the obvious tip that I suspect you thought I was going to label number one in this particular episode. If this isn't obvious to you, you haven't been paying attention to anything that I've said over the last 200 and something episodes. You need to have meditation as part of your morning routine. If meditation isn't built into your morning routine, it will not get done, not just during the morning, but it probably won't get done at all during the course of the day, because if we don't set our minds on the right path first thing in the morning, then the day is going to run away with us, because normal crazy people want not so much our attention, but our energy to fill the perceived gaps that they think that they have in their energetic field as a result of using their minds normally on automatic pilot. You see, if you shower yourself to shower yourself, dress yourself to dress yourself, brush your teeth to brush your teeth, the presence of that brings about means that you don't have any opportunity to allow your thinking mind underestimate your own potential, to allow your thinking mind play on your perceived inadequacies, to allow your thinking mind run away with you and beat the living crap out of you. So, being present in the moment as a result of the little things that we do ensures that you are in a state of mind that is completely different from normal crazy people who, allowing their minds prey on their perceived inadequacies, will go looking for your energy during the course of the day to ensure that they suck your energy from you, take it into their energy field and make themselves feel better. Now, before we go any further, let's talk for a brief moment about what I'm talking about when I say what I've just said. I had a conversation a few months ago on Zoom with our online program owners, a regular Wednesday evening Zoom, and one particular person talked about how a friend of hers, who actually only turned out to be, even if the individual in question was an acquaintance or not is debatable at this stage, but who this person, my online program owner, thought was a friend, had asked them for their advice. And as a friend, they had given their advice. And the person to whom they gave the advice completely and utterly ignored the advice. Didn't even thank them for it, but completely ignored it. And as I said on that call, and a number of people kind of ever so slightly taken aback by it, but then as we discussed it, realised that we're actually talking about the behaviour of the vast majority of people you will cross during the course of your day to day. The point I made was that that person wasn't looking for your advice. That person was looking for attention. Because normal crazy people are attention seekers, because they think if they gain other people's approval, they will be the better able to approve of themselves. It doesn't sound a very nice thing to say, but the scientific, neuroscientific, psychological facts are there and have been there for a long time at this stage. Indeed, if you read books like Tony DeMello's book, beautifully entitled Awareness, a wonderful little book that I would recommend to you. If you read that book, you'll more deeply understand what I'm talking about in relation to people looking for your attention, craving your attention, craving what DeMello calls the drug of approval. One of the most addictive drugs on the face of the earth, until you brush your teeth to brush your teeth, dress yourself and shower to have a wonderful morning shower. But back to your morning meditation. How long should your morning meditation take? Now, my online program owners know that the vast majority of the 6 dozen meditations provided in the online program are kind of around the 7, 8, 9 minute mark. Some of them are 20 or 22 minutes, but the vast majority of them fit into that duration of 7, 8, 9 minutes. And that's because people are busy. And if you say to yourself, I'm going to sit down to meditate for 60 minutes, as people who are trained in the tradition of Vipassana meditation will have been told to do, you're setting yourself up to fail, because nobody, or almost nobody, is going to set 60 minutes aside in their early morning routine to meditate. So the reason I provide online program owners, and I can provide you with them as well in a moment, just bear with me. The reason I provide online program owners with meditations of 7 or 8 minutes duration is to give them a fighting chance of fitting morning meditation into their morning routine every morning or most mornings. Now, as I said, I can do this for you too. I happen, as your luck would have it, to have a free online program, online obviously, at the moment, that you can sign up to using the link in your podcast player. Whatever podcast player you're using, you'll find a link to my online free training. And it's the standalone online free training. I've been referring to my online program owners who own for life the Psychology of Success online program. But the free online program that I'm talking about now, that you can sign up for this instant, or perhaps preferably when you finish listening to this episode, that stands alone and will provide you with the fundamentals of how you can start changing your life, your experience of every moment of your life, which is obviously how we change our lives. You can start doing that today. And people who go through some of my free online trainings email me and say, you know, I did that meditation and suddenly I feel different. And that is the difference that we need to experience to move ourselves from how we habitually, normally use our minds into the realm of living your life to the full in the moment. Now, the last thing I would say about morning meditation, no, I have two more things to say about morning meditation. Number one is that if you miss it, it doesn't matter. People get stressed out about missing their morning meditation. People start feeling guilty about missing their morning meditation. And of course, feelings of guilt aren't real. They are just born out of thinking that I should have done something that I didn't get around to doing. I'll come back to guilt in just a minute too. The other thing, the final thing I would say about your morning meditation is that although it needs to be part of your morning routine, morning meditation should never be routine in itself. And that is why, I mentioned a minute ago, online program owners have access to 6 dozen meditations. That's just for starters, by the way, until they get into meditating with me regularly online, meditating together with me, because there is power in numbers. And that is an important point that I've just made too. Now, your day will get going and people will trigger you. They can't help it. They're not doing it deliberately. It's just that they're mad. People will trigger you by their own behavior. People who need your attention, who are craving your approval, want to drag you into their drama because it makes them feel more important than they feel about themselves in the first place. So normal crazy people will trigger you. You need to deploy countermeasures when you are triggered. You need to have other triggers that you can use to stop yourself going, as one online program owner, to whom I referred only a couple of weeks ago in this podcast, to stop yourself falling over the cliff and being dragged down, sucked down into the energy vampire's world. What might those countermeasures be? Well, the first one you may actually learn during the course of your morning meditation. And I want to give you a quick tip in relation to your morning meditation. Because when you sit down to meditate, you'll be distracted. You'll be distracted by noise around you. You'll be distracted by thoughts. There are so many ways in which we can be distracted. And if we're not distracted by something external, we're very good at distracting ourselves. When you're distracted during meditation, embrace the distraction as an opportunity for you to redecide, to choose again, to focus on whatever the meditation is suggesting that you are focusing on. Distraction, even the distraction of your own thoughts, is an opportunity, a universally given opportunity for you to learn not to be distracted. In exactly the same way, I meditated with somebody a couple of years ago, one-to-one, and we decided that we would sit down and meditate together for an hour. Yeah, more than your average 7 or 8 minutes in the morning. After a couple of minutes, I stopped him and he said, "God, that was a quick hour." I said, "We haven't meditated for an hour." I said, "I've stopped you because you weren't doing what I had suggested that you choose to do." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "You were scratching your nose." He said, "I thought you were meditating with me." I said, "I had one eye open to ensure that you were doing what you were supposed to be doing. Otherwise, how would I know that you're actually moving in the right direction?" I said, "You were scratching your nose." He said, "It was itchy." I said, "But who's in charge when you decide to meditate? You choose to be in control of your state of mind. And being in control of your state of mind, you can choose whether or not to scratch the itch. If you develop the ability to not scratch an itch during meditation, you will develop the ability to not scratch normal crazy people's itch during the course of the day. You will develop the ability to stop the energy vampires in their tracks." That's an important tip that I've just suggested to you. But what if, this isn't what if, when during the course of the day some nutcase drags you into their drama or is trying to drag you into their drama, there are a variety of measures you can deploy to ensure that you stay grounded. In other words, connected to the reality of the here and now. I have quite a number of people who work in the electrical generating industry, have had for many years at this stage. And they would touch the top of the table that they're sitting at or make sure that their feet are firmly attached to the floor and that they can actually feel their feet in the socks and in the shoes in which they're wearing. And what they're actually doing is grounding themselves. Some of them actually said to me, "I earth myself." And that's actually what they're doing, because when we allow our energy flow freely, what we're actually allowing happen as a result of being wholly and fully present, is allow our electromagnetic pulse become coherent. And we do need to earth ourselves. And indeed, in earthing ourselves, we join more closely with the electromagnetic pulse of the planet that we're living on and the universal flow of energy around us. As a result of that, by the way, our presence and the pulse of our own electromagnetic energy and the light that that emits enables us glow. I talked about attractive presence earlier on. If you meet somebody and you say to yourself, or indeed you say to them, "My God, you're glowing," that's because they're actually glowing. they're actually giving off light. And the really interesting thing about recent research in that regard is that when we are giving off light as a result of the coherence of our own electromagnetic pulse, as a result of our being fully and wholly present, we actually send out messages into the universe that attracts into our now, our here and now, the things that we need to move forward. We've talked on many occasions before about synchronicities. And indeed, over the next couple of weeks in this podcast, I want to go into synchronicities in far more detail. They are the signposts that lead you forward to the life that is best for you. So, when you're being triggered by normal crazy people, you could touch something close to you, literally get in touch with reality. It's one of your five senses. Actually pay attention to the fabric of the seat covering on the chair that you're sitting on. Pay attention to the feel of the tabletop in front of you. Pay attention to the warmth of the mug of coffee in the palms of your hands. There are other senses you could use. You could taste the coffee. Stop and smell the roses. You see, these everyday expressions that we take for granted are actually describing something whereby we can use the opportunity of the moment, however fraught it might be, to fully immerse ourselves in the moment, be present in the moment, as a result of which we have this attractive presence that we've talked about a couple of times now in this episode, but we are also so tuned in that we know what to say, we know what to do, and we know what to avoid saying and doing. So in other words, if somebody is trying to drag us into our drama, we'll say the right thing in the right way so that nobody is offended and that everybody's the better for it. So that if I have certain things that I need to do today, but I would prefer not to have to do, which I'm coming up to my next tip, I will just do them because I'm present in the moment. No doubt, this is the next tip now, no doubt like anybody else, you probably have a to-do list. And half the stuff that's on the to-do list shouldn't be there at all. And if you were to go back over to-do lists that you've had in the past and notice stuff that you had put on those to-do lists that kind of sorted themselves out or just went away, then it provides you with an insight into the rubbish that the normal thinking mind puts on a to-do list. And you see, the problem with a to-do list, a normal to-do list, is that it actually becomes a stick with which we beat ourselves. I recollect somebody saying to me a few years ago that they were so pressurized when they got into work every morning because they'd look at their to-do list in the sure and certain knowledge that by the end of the day, their to-do list would actually be longer after a full day's work. Who was doing the pressurizing? If you have a to-do list and you look at it, you say, well, I'll put that off because I don't feel like doing it today, or I prefer not to have to do it at all, and then you start feeling guilty about it, who's pressuring? The pressure is largely coming from ourselves. When we look at the day ahead and say to ourselves, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to get through that. And you don't need to be able to get through what's on your to-do list. What you need to do is the important stuff every day. How will we know the important stuff? Well, we just know when we are present. Do we need our gut instinct to actually inform us? Yes, we do, because this is when we get a feel for what the right things are to say and do, as I referred to a moment ago. And this is where we get a sense of doing things that will move our lives in the right direction. Now, there's no point in our daily lives of simply going through the motions, doing what's on a to-do list, or making it through the day. I know evolution has designed our minds purely to make it through the day, but we're talking about developing your presence of mind and redeveloping the structures of your neural pathways in your subcortical brain through meditation so that you take charge of your own personal evolution, change the shape of your brain and start living each moment like you mean it. In other words, turning up to your own life and living your life to the full. So at any point during the course of the day, regardless of whether we're being challenged by the normal crazy madness around us or indeed being distracted by the thoughts in our own heads or putting ourselves under pressure by looking at what is a long to-do list that probably shouldn't be bothering us at all, we can come back to our senses. You have five of them, and every moment of the day provides you with an opportunity to use one or more of them to come back to the reality of the present moment. A couple of other important tips. Give yourself time. There's loads of time during the course of the day to do the important stuff, to do what needs to be done. The more you slow down, the more you will get done. I know that sounds like a paradox, but I've been working with people, talking about this, helping people along their merry way over almost 30 years. And I know for a fact, from my own experience, but from the feedback that I get from all the people with whom I've worked over the years, and I mean all of them, not some of them, because anybody can do this, the more you slow down, the more you get done. Because the more you slow down, the more you experience the moment, the less you think, and the more you just do what you need to do, and the more effortless the doing becomes. Because pressure comes from thinking. Stress comes from thinking. Effort comes from thinking. If you allow your thinking mind go away and simply allow yourself be present in the here and now, the effort in what you think you have to do goes away. And you will dance through your day like a proverbial ballerina. So let's deal with later in the day. Because you'll come in the door in the evening after a day's work, or you'll arrive back home with those 10 screaming kids to which I referred earlier on from school, and you'll close the front door behind you. Or if you're working from home, you'll turn off your laptop or your desktop computer. Now, if you don't turn off those machines, you're not turning yourself off from your working day. There's a law in this country, I live in France, that ensures that employees do not need to check their emails or respond to emails outside working hours. And that includes all of the hours on Saturdays and Sundays. Turn your equipment off at the end of the working day as an opportunity to further turn yourself on to the reality of the present moment. You know, after all, when we sit down with our loved ones in the evening, they are probably the most important nows of the day. It is so important to be there in the here and now rather than be reliving the crap that was thrown at you by normal crazy people, some of whom, by the way, might be your clients or your boss during the course of the day, to relive that crap and divorce yourself from the reality of being with people whom you're supposed to love. Turn off your equipment when your working day is done. Turn yourself on. And when you sit down to eat your evening meal, hopefully you sit down to eat your evening meal together. That's a dying art. But when you do sit down to eat your evening meal, give yourself all the time in the world. It's called mindful eating. If you want to Google mindful eating, there's a load of stuff online about it. Some of it isn't great, but really all it boils down to is that you actually see, feel, hear, smell and taste the food that you are eating as you eat it. That you take your time, that you chew your food properly, that you appreciate the textures and flavours of your food. You appreciate how your food looks on the plate. First and foremost, we eat with our eyes. And that you actually take time between mouthfuls to converse with those around you. Now, by the way, I'll jump around for just a moment, that applies to lunchtime too. Most people will shove a sandwich down their throat while they're doing something else at lunchtime. Give yourself time to appreciate the joy of eating food. The joy of drinking a glass of wine, preferably in the evening rather than at lunchtime. The joy of being with people and sharing those special moments. And as your evening winds down, as you get ready to allow your head hit the pillow, I want to come back to one of the very first things that I said in this week's episode, related to knowing what the right thing is to do, knowing what the right thing is to say, knowing what the next most important thing is for you to do. And we asked earlier on, do I need to be prompted by my gut instinct in relation to that? And the answer is an obvious yes. Your thinking mind will never know what the best thing is to do or say. It'll always allow you to put your foot in it the minute you open your mouth. So it's our gut instinct that tells us what's the next most important thing that we need to do. The more we get into the zone as a result of perhaps following some of the tips or all of the tips that I've suggested in this episode, the more we get into the zone, the more we'll be able to freely and effortlessly hear our gut instinct during the course of the day. But very often we need to prompt our gut instinct and allow our gut instinct get its ducks in a row to inform us as to what the next most important thing is that we do need to do. So as your head hits the pillow tonight, ask yourself that very question. What is the next most important thing I need to do? Answer on my desk in the morning, as one particular client said to me many years ago. And generally speaking, as he said, I did get the answer on my desk the following morning, metaphorically speaking. When we fall asleep, it's our thinking mind that falls asleep, and therefore it is our gut instinct that comes to the fore whilst we sleep. Our gut instinct will often clear some of the rubbish out of our heads, hence the rubbishy dreams that we might have from time to time, or maybe every night, I don't know. But your gut instinct will get your ducks in a row and answer the question that I have just suggested that you ask yourself before your head hits the pillow last thing at night. Everything that we've talked about in this episode is designed to enable you take charge of the moments of your life, because our lives are lived in moments. And until we fully experience those moments, we're missing the very fabric of our lives. And our lives will have passed us by, and we'll die without having lived at all. Now, I'm not going to end up on that particular note. What I do want to end up on is the simple statement that in this here and now, right here, right now, listening to this, this is your life. In the next now, when you finish listening to this, whatever it is you have to do, this is your life. Immerse yourself in what you're doing. Immerse yourself in the moment. Come to your senses. You have five of them in the moment. And do just what you need to do in that moment. Live your life like you mean it.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. To get involved, join me in my Facebook group, strangely enough called To Succeed, Just Let Go. And for more information, visit www.willie-horton.com.